Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for preserving it, for us to be able to read, and Lord, for us being able to read it in our own language. Lord, thank you for the free access that we have to it. Lord, may we not neglect it, or Lord, any of these things that we read in this passage. Lord, may we take these things to heart, that our lives, that our walk with you would be pleasing to you, and that, Lord, you would just have your way in every part of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to start the conclusion, if that makes sense, of our four-part series looking at Acts 2:42. The bonus is that the fourth part of those four parts is actually a two-part. So we're actually going to carry on looking at prayer next week as well as this one. Reason for that is simply as I was preparing the study, I felt there are a few important things to look at, to study, to walk through together, and I didn't want to cut any of those out. So tonight, we're going to actually recap a little bit from a previous study that I taught in the May of this year, but then we're going to look at some things not hopefully entirely new to us, but new in this series of studies. So again, we're in Acts 2:42. It records here the foundation of the church, and as we just read, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And as you know, we've already looked at doctrine, that which the disciples believed and taught. And we've looked at fellowship, which in many ways was disciples living that doctrine out. And of course, we most recently looked at what communion is, and that it is really important how we receive it. You know, that is, it's our attitudes that are important. So tonight, having moved through those three items already, we're going to start looking at prayer. And hopefully you recall a few things from that study back in May that I taught here on the subject of prayer at one of our Sunday morning services. And during that, I tried to give us comprehensive overview as possible in the 45 minutes or so. This evening, I don't want to repeat that word for word, not because it's not important or that anything has changed, you know, the truth doesn't change, but rather I hope that we've retained some of it, and if not, it's available on our website, and we'll link to that previous study from this one when it goes online in the next couple of days. However, that said, I do want to touch on a couple of things from that study again, just to jog our memories. And then really what I want to do, starting tonight and carrying on into next week, is to consider some of the barriers that we might have to prayer, some of the things that might stop us from praying. So, in brief, thinking back to what we studied previously, we know what prayer is, that it's communication between us and our Lord. We know we should do it. You know, we noted that the Bible mentions praying over 300 times. And I'm sure that we've all reached the conclusion that we could and that we should do it more. We also looked at what prayer isn't, though, that it's not to be done exclusively in public, nor exclusively in private. And that public prayer should never be something that draws attention to us as individuals. Prayer is not just about our practical needs. It's not about our will, but rather it's about God's will being done. And we noted that it's not a charm, a mantra, or any kind of lucky charm or superstition. Neither is it a substitute for the things that we can do. Neither is it our last resort. Indeed, we should surround everything that we do in prayer. And, of course, others praying for you is not a replacement for you having your own prayer life. In the end, prayer isn't complicated. I noted four important reasons to pray, which is to praise God, to pray for others, whether that be our friends, family, church family, our town, our country, and to know God's will, of course, not as a substitute for reading the Bible, but then also, finally, to bring our requests to God. Though, as we'll consider as we go through these two studies now, you know, God knows what we will ask even before we pray. Now, we also looked at how we are both instructed and given examples in the Bible of praying for the spiritual health of others as well as ourselves, and how that is even more important to be praying for than our physical health. We should even pray that we might not enter temptation. That is, pray when you know you're about to enter a difficult situation, that you won't be tempted to act in a way that you shouldn't. And finally, we close that study by noting that we should pray anywhere and everywhere, and often. That as men, we should lead our wives and children, that they should see us setting an example. And for all of us, that we should be quick to pray, as well as regular and persistent in our prayers. Prayer helps us be less selfish when we pray for others. It helps us to be more convicted when we pray about God's word and it taking hold in our lives. It helps us to be more motivated to serve, because if we spend long enough praying for more labourers, we'll soon find out that we're one of them. And prayer naturally moves us closer to God, for you're talking to him in prayer. It's going to do that. It is part of our relationship with him. So much so that if we fail to pray, it will really damage our relationship, our closeness with the Lord. So what might be our barriers to praying? Well, one might be, simply put, as we don't feel like praying. We might not know what to pray. You know, and we might not know the words or how to phrase things in a way that we think are useful or suitable. We don't have time to pray. You know, we can say this about a great many probably important things in our lives, but do we have this as a barrier to prayer? You know, and we may be afraid of praying in front of others. Tonight we're going to look at just the first of these four, and then next week we'll look at the final three, dig into those a little deeper. So what if we don't feel like praying? Does that happen? Well, I'd say yes, I know it does. You know, there are times that we don't feel like praying. Now, I don't think that's simply because we don't see the need. I don't think it's that, but rather, I think we don't understand the priority. I'll say that again. It's not that we don't see the need, but we don't understand the priority that prayer should take. We don't maybe understand the full importance of it in our daily lives. But the habit of regular, daily, and even more often than daily prayer is important to our preparation for every part of life. If it helps you, you know, you can maybe quiz yourself in the morning, you know, are you prepared for the day? Have you prayed before you go out? I think R.A. Torrey made a good point saying, pray just as much before your play as you do before your work. Now, regular prayer will build and strengthen your relationship with God. I hope that that's something we've all experienced, that as we pray, we do find ourselves drawing closer to him. It will help you to be more open to his leading, and it will be essential as you inevitably go through trials and temptations. Charles Spurgeon had this to say. He said, if you do not pray except when you feel like praying, you will not pray much, nor pray when you most need it. My brethren, when you do not feel like praying, you ought to pray all the more and go to the Lord to help you to pray. R.A. Torrey noted, all the mighty men of God have been men of prayer. They have differed from one another in many things, but in this they have been alike. While A.W. Tozer observed, the only safe place for sheep is by the side of the shepherd, because the devil does not fear sheep, he just fears the shepherd. The result of our failure to understand the importance and the priority of prayer in our lives is neglect. Neglect of our prayer lives. Neglect of our relationship with God. As I began preparing this series of studies, I noticed how there was a parallel between our physical and our spiritual health. Something I've been increasingly aware of through certain products that my employer makes is that there are three so-called pillars to our physical health, which are nutrition, exercise, and sleep. And in that, I see parallels between nutrition of our bodies and our spiritual nutrition of feeding on the Word of God. We can't go without it. It is our spiritual food. And we must be careful, as we looked at previously, to eat the right food. Not just the things that make us feel good, but the things that we need. Likewise, our fellowship with one another is where much of that learning, that nutrition, if you like, gets used. And like nutrition and exercise, you need both. You see, if you only feast on the Word of God and never fellowship with Christians, then something is wrong. And if you only fellowship with Christians and never spend time in the Word, you're probably just socializing. For you won't know how you should act, how you should love, or serve the body of Christ. We need both. So when it comes to prayer, I think there's a parallel to sleep. Now, I don't want to build a doctrine out of this, but rather I'd ask you to consider the following as a way of remembering how important prayer is. You see, we neglect both prayer and sleep. We under-prioritize both of them. And interestingly, you can go longer without food than you can without sleep. You may last 3 weeks without food, yet the longest recorded time without sleep is just over 11 days. I know sometimes it feels like we've gone through longer than that, but, you know, actually no sleep, it's 11 days. And I wonder, is the reason that the church at large in this country and around the world is so dead because we pray so little? Sleep and prayer are alike in that we too quickly cut them out if there's lots to do. Yet a lack of either affects our ability to think, to reason, and to do those very things that we're trying to do effectively. We probably get too little of both because of social media, and a lack of either affects our relationship with others. No one else can sleep or pray in your place. And it's unlikely, at least as an adult, that anyone will say that you are sleeping or praying too much. Probably because additional sleep or prayer will not do you harm. Yet, we should note also that in both cases, if that was all you ever did, you'd never get anything done. So it's not that we spend 24/7 sleeping, and we don't spend 24/7 praying either. There are times that we live out our lives, that we fellowship, that we study God's word. There are these other areas of our lives, this communion that we've looked at. But sleep is really, really important to our physical health, and prayer is really, really important to our spiritual health. You need the word and prayer, like both food and sleep. And I was thinking about this, and I thought maybe I would question the healthiness of a marriage if a couple didn't pray together in the same way that I might if a couple had separate bedrooms. You know, prayer should be very much part of our lives. It should be part of even of our friendships and certainly part of our church family. You know, prayer, again, like sleep, is the most neglected of these three pillars of health. It has been well said that 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Specifically, a lack of sleep is associated with a number of problems, including impaired moral judgment, hallucinations, and an impaired immune system. So consider how a lack of prayer may impact your judgment, your moral judgment, or how it would impact your grasp on reality of who God is, and your impact on the impact on your overall spiritual health. You might not feel like praying, but it's dangerous to neglect it. Now, beyond the priority of prayer, there may be other reasons that we don't feel like praying. So we'll have a look at some of those. You know, one reason may be that we know that God may not respond immediately. You know, whether that causes us to think, well, if God's not going to respond immediately, I'm not going to ask now, I'll ask later. You know, the reasons, the nuances of these might be different for each of us. But, you know, it can be hard when we think that God will not or may not respond immediately. You know, in this day and age, we're particularly used to everything happening instantly on our terms. You know, whether that be streaming videos or music, whether it be instant coffee or microwave meals, fast food, you know, the list goes on. Even most things that we order online can be delivered the next day, you know, and in some cases the same day now. But we need to know that with God, our need is not for him to answer immediately, but our need is to come into his presence regularly. Say that again. Our need is not for God to answer immediately, but for us to come into his presence regularly. You know, prayer can often change us more than it changes him. And I've often quoted Ben Patterson, who I think very wisely said this: perhaps one reason God delays answers to our prayers is because he knows that we need him more than the things that we ask of him. Recently, Dustin Benge, who is a Bible teacher based in the US, shared this on Twitter. He said, "Why does God work through persevering prayer? You know, rather than just, you know, pray once and you get your answer straight away. Why does God want us to persevere in prayer?" Well, he said, the first reason, to make us like Christ, to draw us closer to himself, to drive us from self-dependence, you know, and how true that is. You know, that it's not just because we prayed, but actually we're giving over everything to God, allowing him to do things in his timing. You know, to purify our desires. You know, how true that can be. That what we set out praying for, we then realize isn't actually what we need. To focus our attention on the giver. That rather than being consumed about the thing that we're asking for, we're just spending time with the Lord. To wean us from the world. And to demonstrate his fatherhood. Sometimes God does respond immediately. I've known that in my life. But there are times that he hasn't and doesn't. And what you and I need to hold on to is that whatever God's timescale is better than our own. Now, I think another barrier, perhaps, to us praying is that we feel that God is distant. Sometimes this is merely a symptom of us being distant from him. In other words, if you once felt close to God and now you don't, guess who moved? What we need to make sure is that we're not neglecting our walk with the Lord in any area. Milton Jones put it this way: hearing God's voice is often like trying to hear a sat-nav that you've locked in the boot because you thought you wouldn't need it. Do we treat God a little like that? That we only cry out to him in prayer when we have times of need. And then when things are going well, we forget to pray regularly. But you know, irrespective of how close you feel to God, I want to assure you that God knows you. In fact, he knows more about you than you can possibly comprehend. He knows you better than you know yourself. And you have never left his sight, even if he has left yours. Just prior to Jesus teaching us how to pray with what is known as the Lord's Prayer, is really the disciples' prayer, for it was them that would pray in that way. He said, "Your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him." That's how much God knows you. But he still wants you to come to him and ask him. Just a bit later in Luke chapter 12, we read Jesus say this. He says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." You know, God knows the little details that go on this planet, and he is abundantly more interested in you than he is in sparrows. In verse 24, Jesus also says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them, of how much more value are you than the birds? You have a God that loves you, that values you so much he sent his son to die for you. Though you may feel distant from him at times, he doesn't see it the other way around. You know, we even read this in Hebrews chapter 4. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not just come, but come boldly to the throne of grace. So do we feel like praying? Well, one more reason we may not feel like it, perhaps, is if we doubt that God will hear us, that perhaps he's not listening. Well, don't be too alarmed at this first thing, but do take it seriously. To be very clear, that might actually be the case in some circumstances. For we read in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. This is a big warning. That is, if there is some kind of sin that has taken root in your life and you know about it and you are not doing anything about it, God wants you to sort that first. However, we know that we all sin. John makes that clear in his letters. And God will not stop answering your prayers because you have sinned, but rather he will not hear you because of a wrong attitude towards it, that you don't care about your sin, that you are not dealing with it or letting him deal with it in your life. And actually we see here in the very next verse that David says, but certainly God has heard me, he has attended to the voice of my prayer. We know David was not a perfect man, but what we know is that despite his sin, his heart was one that was after the Lord. He had a love for the Lord. To further address our doubts, do we doubt that God is able? And sometimes we can lose sight of who God is. So consider what David says earlier in Psalm 66, this same psalm. Verse 16 says, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. The question I ask of you is this. Why would you doubt a God that saved you from an eternity in hell? He's already sorted and solved your biggest problem you could ever face. God is good, and he wants a relationship with you, not just exchanging pleasantries on a Sunday morning. He actually wants a relationship with you daily. While at various times and for various reasons we might not feel like praying, I don't believe there's a good enough reason to avoid doing it. Charles Spurgeon said this, and we looked at this in May. We may be certain that whatever God has made prominent in his word, he intended to be conspicuous, so obvious, in our lives. If he has said much about prayer, it is because he knows we have much need of it. So deep are our needs that until we are in heaven, we must not cease to pray. The motto for this year must be, continue in prayer. Let's close doing just that. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us. Lord, we know that your disciples asked you to teach them to pray, and Lord, not only did you do that, but Lord, you are there to help us. Lord, your Holy Spirit is there to help us even when we don't know the words or how to say things. Lord, we pray that though we may have barriers, and sometimes that is through just our simple neglect of our walk with you, Lord, we pray that you would take away those barriers or concerns or fears in our life. Lord, may we just come before you each day. Lord, whether we know exactly what to say or not, Lord, you know our hearts, and Lord, we pray that we would spend regular time with you. Lord, not that we would seek to break marathon records of the longest prayers, but Lord, rather we would just come to you often. That, Lord, we would have a relationship with you. That, Lord, in all things, in every decision, every part of our lives, Lord, we'd always be asking, Lord, what do you want? Lord, how would you guide me in this next step? Lord, may we submit to your will, your leading in our lives through prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.